Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. I hope your week is off to an awesome start. Well, this past Sunday, we continued in a series we're calling Asking for a Friend as we are going through the 6th and the 7th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, which deals very much with relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. And this past Sunday, we really spent quite a bit of time on the topic of sexual immorality. And the reason Paul is addressing this is because he has gotten reports that there is sexual immorality happening among the brothers and sisters at Corinth. They live in a very sexually immoral culture. In one sense, that's a bit encouraging to me, because I think sometimes we have this assumption that the more time goes on, the more morally and sort of socially corrupt things get. And that's just, I think that's an untrue assumption. If you look back at the Roman culture and civilization, if you look at the church in Corinth, you look at the surrounding culture of Corinth, I mean, there was rampant sexual immorality involving prostitution, something called cult temple prostitution, where in order to worship a certain god, you'd have to have sex with a prostitute at the temple. I mean, just super messed up stuff and super immoral, super just twisted. And what we see, though, is Jesus has the power to transform people and to transform cultures and civilizations and to reshape the way in which people live their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, given through faith and the sacrificial payment for sin that Jesus made on the cross. And that's extraordinary, right? So it's just a bit of good news that it's not all downhill. Jesus can transform you. He can transform your neighbor. He can transform this civilization, not for the sake of the civilization, but for the glory of Christ. And so that's a really good thing. Anyway, Paul goes through the section to say, hey, look, there's this teaching out there that says because of grace, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, it's a prominent teaching today. I actually grew up within that theology and it is wildly destructive. But it says, look, because grace abounds, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. And that is a lie from the enemy that is meant to rob, kill, steal, and destroy your marriage, your sexuality, and numerous other things. And so Paul goes into this sort of lengthy dialogue about, hey, you need to not do these things. And the fact that you are doing these things, practicing homosexuality, there's someone in the church who is having sexual relationships with his father's wife, his stepmom, essentially. I mean, just twisted, messed up stuff. And he says, look, the fact that you're pursuing these things and maybe not doing anything about these things reveals that you're not actually saved, because grace should transform you and change your activity. Your identity in Christ should change your activity. And so he goes into a lengthy discussion on that. And he puts really the period at the end of the paragraph, or maybe I'll say the point at the bottom of the exclamation point, though there are no exclamation points here. But anyway, he says this in verse 19. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Now, I want to point this out to us because I think maybe there's something that happens in me when I realize something that is not my own and my responsibility to care for that. Maybe this just happens to me. Maybe there's somebody else out there who can relate, but I don't know about you. Sometimes it seems like every time I borrow something from someone, it gets destroyed. You know, I'm just that guy. So if I ask you for a tool, I would really, really take some time to think that through. So just give me an example. There's a guy who I just love. His name's Bob, and he's here part of the Marion campus. He and his wife, Lynn, have been so pivotal in getting the Marion campus up and going over the past couple of years. Really just value and appreciate them so much. But anyway, Bob owns several rental properties here in Marion, and I often will borrow a trailer that he has that he keeps at one of his rental properties. It's a 16-foot trailer, and so I needed it for something I was working on, and he was out of town, and I've gotten the trailer before, no big deal. And so he's like, yeah, go ahead and pick it up. So I go to his, you know, that garage, I open it up, I pull the trailer out, no problem, no big deal. I go to close the garage door, and on the way down, it gets stuck about halfway, you know, and I'm like, oh man. And I remember he had said, you know, sometimes it sticks, it's sort of a janky old garage door, and it looks it, you know. So I decide, okay, well, I'm going to hit the button again. because maybe it'll just sort of reset and it'll go up. And anybody who knows anything about garage doors, you're probably already laughing and shaking your head because I'm an idiot. And so anyway, I hit the button and it the left side goes up, but the right side stays down. And so I'm like, oh no. So I'm starting to sweat, you know, I'm getting really anxious because I'm looking at this garage door and like the left side is 3 feet higher than the right side. That is not good. So I pull like the release thing, you know, and I try and pull things down and get things situated. So I almost get them level and I like re-engage it. And then I hit the button again. And then I hear this horrible, horrific snapping sound. And the third panel of the garage door literally like snapped in half. And so, you know, I'm just, it's a terrible situation. And so then I'm FaceTiming Bob, who is like on vacation in, I don't know, Aruba or something. I'm like, hey, Bob, here's the thing. Your garage door is just destroyed. Mutilated. And I felt horrible, right? I'm like, you know, let me know when you're going to fix this. I'm so sorry. And Bob didn't care, really. He probably was annoyed. But like, I think I cared way more than Bob actually cared. And because it wasn't my thing that I broke. It was Bob's thing. And I felt terrible. Here's why I tell that story. I think when we understand our bodies are not our own, they belong to God, suddenly we treat them with far greater care, and we're conscious to realize that because our bodies belong to God, God is the one who has the authority over our bodies and not us. You see, we often don't care about things that are our own being broken because there's this sense of ownership that, whatever, it's fine. But when we understand that God owns our bodies and he has a specific way in which he has told us to use our bodies, suddenly there is a far greater awareness that I need to honor the Lord in the body he has given me and the way in which he has told me to use this body for his purposes and his glory. And so suddenly when we read teachings about homosexuality, we read teachings about faithfulness and marriage, we read these things, and to some, these things might sound offensive. I think what must be at the foundation is my body is not my own. You know what? My beliefs are not necessarily my own. Yes, I need to individually internalize my beliefs, but my beliefs are that they belong to God. God is the authority. And I was just thinking that story about why do I care more about a garage door sometimes than the food that I eat, for example. You know, personally, I have an issue. I love candy, you know, and I'll just eat like a stupid amount of candy because I love it. It's like, wait a minute, this is not my body. This is God's body. Am I caring for my body? Am I being a steward of my body in the way in which, in a way that would honor the Lord? So I just want to lay that before you today and ask those questions. Yes, I want you to ask those sexually. If you are living within sexual sin, number one, I just want you to be encouraged by the Word of God to make a change by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can, not because you're awesome, but because God is able. And that is really, really good. And so I wanted to encourage you to flee from sexual immorality of all kinds. It is worth it. God is worth it. And you will experience a freedom and a joy unlike any other. So I want to encourage you there. And I want to encourage all of us, not just within the sexual realm of our lives, but in just general stewardship of the bodies that God has given us. They're not ours. They're God's, and they're to be used for his glory and his purposes. So let's pray to that end. And once again, I want to say thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us bodies. And thank you that you've made these bodies not ours, but yours. And because they are yours, God, I ask that you would give us just the respect, the honor, the desire to obey what you say when it comes to how we use our bodies, how we think about our bodies. You have made each and every one of us individually, uniquely. You've knit us together within our mother's wombs. And so we praise you for that. And Father, forgive us for how we take authority on our bodies when they really belong to you. Help us glorify you in all that we do, say, think. Lord, we trust you. We love you. We need you. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.